بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 30th of March in the year 2024 and alhamdulillah we've entered the last 10 blessed nights of the holy month of Ramadan in which some of the chosen servants are now performing the itiqaf. So we ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts their efforts and forgives us by His great mercy and kindness. Ameen. And we moved on to the 58th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the noble companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned that the plague of Amwas has struck and many of the noble companions, including all of the generals barring one, were martyred. And I mentioned that Umar radiallahu anhu in particular, he was trying to save some of the elite ones because he wanted them to possibly succeed. The unparalleled love Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had for these most venerable men or men can be gauged from the following report. So Aslam rahmatullah alayhi relates, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu once asked those around him to express their wishes. Someone thereupon said, I wish that this room was filled with dirhams that I could spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, not really impressed, he asked another person to express his wish. So the other man responded, I wish that this room was filled with gold, that I could spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not impressed, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu repeated the request. So a third person responded, I wish that this room was filled with gems, that I could spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu once again asked them to express their wishes, they finally said, what more can we wish for, Amir al-Mumineen? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu thereupon responded, unlike you, I wish that this room would be filled with men like Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Mu'ad ibn Jabal, and Hudayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu ta'ala, so that I could employ them in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So stop in the report. So again, this is the training method of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, that he would question people to see whether they were on the right wavelength. So obviously the men around him, they thought, if we had wealth, dirhams, gold or gems, and we spend it in the path of Allah, he goes, surely that is what Umar would impress Umar radiallahu anhu. He wasn't impressed. He said, I wish I could fill this room with men. And which three did he mention? The Amin of this Ummah, the scholar ahead of all scholars on the Day of Judgment, and the keeper of secrets, so I could employ them. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu then sent some money to Sayyidina Hudayfa radiallahu anhu and instructed the person to see what he does with it. When the money finally arrived, Sayyidina Hudayfa radiallahu anhu distributed it all to the poor and needy. Then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sent some money to Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, and he also distributed it all. Thereafter he sent some money to Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, and gave instructions to the person taking it, he should see what he does with it, and he did the same. Sayyidina Umar thereupon said to the people, did I not tell you that these are priceless, incorruptible men? Then he said, they are all brothers of each other. Subhanallah. So this is recorded in Tabarani in his Kabir, Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabakat, volume 3, page 300, Ibn al-Mubarak in his Zuhd, Al-Isaba, volume 3, page 484, Targheeb, volume 2, page 177, Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 3, page 125, comments upon the chain of narrators, Ma'arif al-Qur'an, volume 8, page 591 of the English translation. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 206 of the New English translation. So what was the message or the lesson he was imparting Amir al-Mu'mineen? He was saying men, it is men of the highest caliber who are priceless. Because the wealth is used by those people for the benefit of the people. And he goes, they're all brothers. We send them wealth and they didn't even spend a penny upon themselves. Subhanallah. In a slightly different report, the men said, we do not know what to say, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Sayyidina Umar said, I wish it was filled with men like Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Mu'ad ibn Jabal, Salim Mawla Abu Hudayfa, and Hudayfa ibn al-Yamman, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, so that I might employ them in the service of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-266, Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, Tahdib al-Kamal 5-505. So something very interesting here. He mentioned four men. Three of them had passed away. One was still alive. So Abu Ubaidah was martyred by the plague, radiyallahu. Mu'ad was martyred by the plague, radiyallahu. Salim was martyred in the Ba'al of Yamam. Hudayfa was still alive. So this was actually a very subtle praise of Hudayfa as well, saying that I'm going to use him in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Amir al-Mu'mineen thus defined what indeed entailed true wealth. Outstanding men, men like rocks, solid in their faith, men like the venerable gentleman mentioned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with all the chosen companions of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and forgive us all for their honorable sake. Amen. So who was the only general who survived the plague of Amwas? And it was Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu. So how did he save himself? Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu, seeing such illustrious personalities, including Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu, who he lowered into his grave, passing away so quickly one after another, he began to contemplate seriously on the unfolding situation. So he was thinking, you know, I can't break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Senior companions are leaving the world. What is now the plan of attack? After a deep reflection, he came to a course of action. Abdul Rahman ibn Ghanam rahmatullah alayhi, he said, when the plague struck Ash-Sham, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu announced, this plague is a punishment. Those flee from it to the valleys and the ravines. When news of this reached Sayyidina Shurahbil ibn Hasana radiyallahu anhu, he became angry. And he said, Amr ibn al-As is mistaken. I was a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a time when Amr radiyallahu anhu was more astray than the camel his family owns. This plague is rather the supplication of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mercy of your Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the way in which many pious people lost their lives in the past. When this news reached Mu'ad ibn Jabal, he immediately supplicated, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant the family of Mu'ad their share in full. His two daughters then passed away from the plague, and his son Abdul Rahman was also afflicted. Subhanallah. So let's look at it. So this is recorded in Ahmad in his Musnad 4-195, Bazar ibn Khuzaymah ibn Asakir, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 2, page 312, Kanz al-Umal, volume 2, page 325, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 142-1 of the New English Translation. So this is before these generals had left the world. So Amr was thinking even before that. And he says, you have to flee from the plague. Go to the valleys and ravines. So Shurahbil, he was a Badri. And look how we spoke about Amr. He goes, I was a companion when he was more astray than the camel his family owns. Meaning he made a serious mistake. He goes, this is a dua of Rasulullah, the plague. It's mercy. Many pious people lost their lives with this. And immediately Mu'ad made dua. Imagine. He heard the hadith. He goes, Ya Allah, give the family of Mu'ad their share. His two daughters were martyred by the plague and his son. With regards to the plague, how is it a mercy? In Fath al-Bari, Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger, he made this dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take my ummah by getting them killed by either being struck or by the plague for your sake. Let us look at this. This is a sahih report. So what dua did our beloved messenger make, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Bless my ummah by getting them killed by being struck, i.e. on the battlefield, or by the plague for your sake. So he equated it to being struck on the battlefield. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, he commented in Fath al-Bari, the scholars rahimuhumullah have thus said that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wished his ummah gained the most supreme type of martyrdom, getting killed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the hands of their enemies, whether human or jinn. So now this is another elaboration. If a person dies from the enemies of Allah in the path of Allah, he's martyred. But he also said, you could be killed by the jinn. This is also martyrdom. And what is the sign of that? The effects of the jinn, they leave marks on the body. To those who are well versed in this ilm, they know the signs. You'll get spots, you'll get rashes. And this is the effect of close contact with the jinn. And if you die from their assault, you are martyred. The Prophet said that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's a plague, natural plague, that, you know, spreads, but there's one that also is the effect of the jinn. In another report, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad Sahih, it mentions that certain types of physical ailments are the result of the mischievous jinn. Thus, if one passes away due to it, inshallah, they will be blessed with martyrdom. So people have died. So really what's happened? It's like the people who dabble in witchcraft. They think that they've done you over. Because look, we've taken him out. Mission accomplished. The reality is, you've destroyed his world. He's destroyed your akhirat. So who's really the loser? 50, 60, 70 years after that, you're all in the grave. Who's now the winner? So really, it's just, you know, stupidity on the part of people who dabble in the black arts and they think they're getting better than, you know, over their so-called, you know, enemies. But in reality, it's nothing but a false delusion. And you blessed him with martyrdom. Imagine. So this person might be a weak Muslim. Might be weak in his, you know, understanding and this, that and the other. And then what happens? He dies from the attack of the jinn. So you blessed him with martyrdom. How is he going to get martyred any other way? So really when you look, you understand, you see the bigger picture. Unfortunately, people don't see the bigger picture. And that's why people turn to these shaitans to sort their problems out. Astaghfirullah. So now, was Amr wrong? Did he make a serious mistake? So there's another report. Shahr ibn Hawshab relates that Rabah, a man from his tribe, informed him, rahmatullahi, when Mu'ad ibn Jabal passed away, radiyallahu, Amr ibn al-As was now elected as the Amir of the people. So all the generals have gone. Only one left is Amr ibn al-As. He's now the Amir. Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu anhu thereupon stood up to deliver the sermon. And he said, O people, when this disease breaks out, it spreads like wildfire. I now urge you again to seek refuge in the defiles and the mountains. Hearing this, Sayyidina Abu Wathila al-Hudali, another companion radiyallahu anhu, he said, you are mistaken. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I remained in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when you were more astray than this ass of mine. Amr radiallahu anhu responded, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do not want to rebut what you say, but I will not remain here. Upon which Amr radiallahu anhu left together with others, and thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them all from the calamity of the plague. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was later informed about the stance of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, and he did not dislike or even disapprove of it. So this is recorded in Al-Isaba, volume 4, page 212. Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 78. Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 2, page 316. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 141 of the New English Translation. So, what's happened? Notice the senior companions, and they obviously are the elders, so they can speak like this. But what's interesting, they weren't older than Amr, they were younger than him. But we're talking about rank. So another senior companion goes, he was more astray than this ass of mine when I was a companion. And notice Amr didn't rebut them. Why are you speaking like this to me? He just said, I'm not going to rebut you, but I'm not staying here. And then it says, he left and he was saved. Now the key point is, this decision reached Umar. If there was anything wrong with his understanding, he would have rebutted him or rebuked, didn't say nothing. So what does it mean? What was Amr's deep understanding, which was missed by even the generals? After relating this hadith, one could easily be mistaken to believe that Amr had erred in this matter, especially if senior companions rebuked him. But a simple clarification could be that Amr radiallahu anhu was not in fact leaving the land of pestilence. He was simply moving to higher ground. This is why he's called the fox. You honestly believe he's going to go against the command of the Prophet? So even though he hears the reports, martyrdom, martyrdom, he's still looking at the bigger picture. Because if all the generals are taken out, this is going to be a loss to the Muslims. So with his brilliance, he thought, we can't flee. But nowhere does it mention we can not, or we're not allowed to go to higher ground. So he goes, go to the mountains, go to the ravines. And even the senior Sahaba didn't notice that. They just rebuked him. But Umar saw it. And he says, nothing wrong with what he did. He goes, he did right. Abu Musa al-Ashri, he relates, Umar radiallahu anhu wrote back to Abu Ubaidah saying, radiallahu anhu, the entire land of Jordan has been afflicted by the plague, but the region of Jabiya amongst the higher grounds is free from it. Therefore, take the Muhajirin there. When Abu Ubaidah read the letter, he responded, we shall certainly listen to and obey this command of the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Subhanallah. This is in Ibn Asakir, Kanz al-Umal, volume 2, page 324. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 498 of the New English Translation. There is the proof. So Umar hears Abu Ubaidah is in jeopardy. So what did he say? Go to higher ground. Go to Jabiya. And Abu Ubaidah says, we're going to listen to this command. Now what did he mean by that? Because before he was given another command, because you needed back in the capital, urgent business. So Abu Ubaidah wrote back to the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he goes, I know what your urgent business is. Please excuse me, I can't leave my men. And then Umar started shedding tears. And the people said, has Abu Ubaidah been martyred? He goes, no, but he will soon be martyred. Then he sent this letter. He goes, go to higher ground. And now Abu Ubaidah says, we will listen, we obey. Question, did Amr know this command? How did Amr work it out? Radiallahu. Subhanallah, how could one even dare to think that Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu would deliberately ignore a divine command from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And if he had for argument's sake, then do you not think that the Amir al-Mu'mineen would have thereupon reprimanded and severely taken him to task? So the only question remains, why did the other Sahaba rebuke him? They didn't see it. They said he's fleeing. And he goes, I'm not going to rebut you. I'm not going to rebut you. We're leaving. So that shows that he had a deep understanding, even though he was a junior companion compared to the senior companions. But that was his brilliance. And Umar seconded his opinion because he did well. So just to add this famous report, Sayyid al-Muslimin, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you hear of an epidemic in a land, then do not go there. And if you happen to be in a land where the epidemic is raging, do not leave that land. This is in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, number 5504. Imam Malik's Muwatta, number 1592, Riyad al-Salihin, number 1791. Famous hadith. If you're in the plague, stay there. That's the command. If you're not in the plague, don't enter that land. So what's beautiful about that? If every Muslim acted upon the command, you wouldn't need checkpoints. The reason they have checkpoints and guards, because they're worried that the epidemic might spread. They want to stop the people, quarantine them. We don't need quarantining. The Prophet told us what to do. Sallallahu alayhi. We stay here if we're in the plague, and if we're not in the plague, we don't enter. So this is the famous report. But is it self-explanatory? No, it's not. You don't get fatwa with that hadith. Why? Because that needs to be explained. What if I'm in the land? So that means that you're saying that I'm going to just get the plague and die. Unless it's the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You still got one opportunity to leave. How? Go to higher ground. That's not in the hadith. That's from the understanding of the sahaba. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf narrates that hadith. Where did he get this knowledge from? He received this knowledge when Rasulullah reached the book, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was then conveyed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a pestilence has broken out in the direction of Damascus, which ultimately played a role in Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, returning, not proceeding further than Tabuk. So he asked, brothers, what was the last campaign of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So if they've read the seerah, they'll say Tabuk. And he goes, what happened at Tabuk? And if they studied the seerah, they'll say, the Prophet went to Tabuk and the Romans didn't even bother turning up. MashaAllah. What happened after that? And the person goes, well, they stayed there a few days and they returned. Have you missed something? Pestilence broke out. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed. They stopped him from going further. So this is when the Prophet said this hadith. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, he goes, I heard Rasulullah say in Tabuk, if there is pestilence where you are, do not leave that place. But if you are somewhere else at the time, do not enter that place. This is in Ahmad in his Musnad, number 23,214, Tabrani in his Kabir, 18-15, Subulul Huda wa Ar-Rashad, 5-462. So that's the context. So when you hear that hadith, you ask a person, when did the Prophet say those words? If you are not in a plague, don't enter it. And if you're in it, stay. He goes, it doesn't matter, brother, does it? Of course it matters. When did the Prophet say it? He said it at the book. There was a raging pestilence. He didn't enter the land. Who was the only one who heard the hadith? Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. And when Umar heard it from Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, he goes, Subhanallah. The matter is clear. So why is it only Sayyid al-Muslimin heard it? Because it was there. The lesson. One should be extremely cautious about making any premature statements about the noble companions. For who but a buffoon could deny that their understanding of the deen was undoubtedly far superior to ours. And we must thus humble ourselves to this fact and honor it. They were the direct ear and eye witnesses to the hadith. And you know better. Think how strange that is. You know better than sahaba. If you think about it, are you mad? The one who was directly with the Prophet, spent years with him, or months, or even days. You know better than them. Yeah, because I know more hadith. Good for you, mate. The plague of Amwas ended shortly after the passing away of the generals of Islam. That's interesting. In its wake, over 30,000 believers lost their lives, including thousands of the companions, thousands. Amongst whom, to mention again, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Mu'ad ibn Jabal, Shurahbil ibn Hasana, Yazid ibn Abu Sufyan, Fadl ibn Abbas, Suhail ibn Amr, Abu Jandal ibn Suhail, Harith ibn Hisham, Zirar, etc., etc., radiyallahu ta'ala, who had to bear with that Amr upon witnessing the passing away of so many of his near and dear brothers and sisters, Amr's countenance underwent a visible change and he was seen lost in deep reflection. Think about it. 1 minute, you're all with your brothers. They're younger than you as well. This is also interesting. Imagine. All of them are younger than you. They've all gone. So Amr's thinking, you know, he probably thought, I saved the Muslims. But really, what was there to be saved from? Because what's the point of living after all these noble souls have passed? So the plague of Amboas was devastating upon the companions. And if you look at the bigger picture, it was Allah Ta'ala intervening. Because Islam was spreading at such an incredible rate. Within 4 years of the Prophet's passing, Persia and Rome were on their knees. 4 years. So don't come out with all that. We can explain it rationally. How is that happening? Then what happened? The plague struck. Did it stop the Sahaba? No, it slowed them down. Imagine anything. Did it stop them? Because it slowed them. So note, Amr ibn al-As in his 70s, he had to go through this great loss. But of course, there's a great virtue in losing your brothers and sisters. To finish, in Sahih Bukhari, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that if a person loses somebody he loves, or a friend or a khalil, and he is patient, there is no other reward for him except paradise. So even with the loss of somebody you love, if you show patience, expecting reward, paradise is yours. So let me ask you a question. How many times does Amr tick the box just with that one hadith? How many has he lost of his noble brothers that he spent, you know, many years on the battlefield with, including others that we don't know? So note again, even with the loss of our brothers and sisters, we should really look at the bigger picture. Allah Ta'ala's blessing is with another avenue, but you got to be patient. You can't say anything silly or stupid. Why has Allah Ta'ala done this? You know, what sort of a question is that? Why is Allah Ta'ala doing it? You know, worry about yourself, brother. Don't worry about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows what he's doing. Do you know what you're doing? In fact, in Surah Anbiya, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He says, he will not be questioned. You will be questioned. The fact that it's a verse made me laugh. So when you start asking any questions about Allah, he's not going to be questioned. You can tap the guy in the back, well thought out, but he's not going to be questioned. You're not Muslim, do you believe that? Yeah. So what are you wasting your time with that for? You're going to be questioned. And look how shaitan makes people waste their time. Why is Allah Ta'ala? I don't understand the wisdom of that. Why did he do this in Gaza? What's going on here? What's going on there? Don't worry about it. Right? Worry about yourself. So all I mentioned on this night, blessed night, is Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu. Why was he the only one who the plague missed? And of course, it was to do with the will of Allah first and foremost, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also his brilliance. He took him to higher ground, and this was endorsed by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Are there any questions you let us? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحان الله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان السلام في خصر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات والواصل بالحق والواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم